Is it hot?
Yeah.
On fire. On fire, yeah. Well, before I preach the message this morning, and I'll make sure we are out of here by 1 o'clock. Okay, some are listening. When you guys were giving, I felt an unction to share this with you, that in the book of Hebrews, the 7th chapter, in the 9th verse, it says, even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That's 4 generations of giving by one person. Abraham started the giving and turned into Israel giving to God. 4 generations. And then that apple thing pulled. And so I just see that when we give offerings and tithes, we should always give them, not only give it to the Lord, but give it purposely. Uh-huh. Yeah. Meaning, I speak over the next 4 generational wealth.
Come on.
Because I'm getting a seed. Ooh, man, I feel the Holy Ghost dropping in here. Because that's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Right.
Abraham was a father of a nation, but Levi was the product of that fatherhood.
Come on.
I'll let you take it there, from there. But it's more than just paying your tithes or giving your offerings. Give it purposely. Do you believe life and death are in the power of the tongue?
Yes. Yes.
If you do, because it is written, then speak something scriptural or scriptural based. Like, isn't it the will of God that all men be saved?
Yes.
Right? And so when you give, you can say, Father, I'm giving not only because I love you and you're my provider, but now I'm asking because I'm being obedient. Doesn't the Bible say that God does things exceedingly far and greater?
Yes. Exceedingly and abundantly.
Yeah, more abundantly.
Yep.
So you start thinking generationally in everything that you do as a Christian, and things change. Things change. I have a word for Josh. Josh, I see the favor of God all over your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I see that you are going to be a pillar.
Amen.
God sees you as a pillar.
Praise God.
Amen.
And now I'm going to take a super risk. Have you ever wanted to own a business? God says you are a businessman.
Amen.
You're not who you are today. You're a businessman. You're a pillar. And now I hear the word community.
Hallelujah.
Praise the
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. So just because somebody gives a word to somebody doesn't mean it's going to come to pass, right?
Right.
You have to start to do. You have to start to pursue.
Take a step.
Yeah, it's kind of like getting instructions to, you know, for your job. So anyways, you want to go that way, and you want to look that way, and I'm going to even take a wild risk. I see you doing insurance. Is it true?
My grandfather retired an insurance salesman.
Generationally.
I really feel the power of God on that. Matter of fact, you need to stand up, man. Oh, Jesus, let it be so for your glory. For your glory. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have an insurance salesman sitting right next to me.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows every. He knows us all, right? Inside and out, past, future, the whole nine yards. All right. Let's go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. We have been exposed to a lot this weekend, or this week. We've seen the power of God very, very strong. And when I kind of like to preach about what God does.
Makes sense.
Just to kind of help put word to spirit.
Yeah.
You know, because everything has to be by the word. Because the spirit and the word are inseparable.
That's right.
Right? Everybody's thinking right now the spirit wrote the book, the Bible, right? So, yeah, through inspiration, exactly. So in Matthew 13, 44 through 46, I'm reading out of the New King James Version this morning, not the NIV. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Amen. Really, just before I get into the message, there's been a display of God's power here this week. Who's been here? Can you say amen to that?
Hallelujah.
And there's a reason. Because when God starts to, he wants to move everywhere and he doesn't get a chance to move everywhere. Because some people don't open doors to allow God to do what he does. Now, God can bust through anything. However, I'm talking about the majority of time. The majority of time, he needs to be invited. He needs to be worshipped. That's why we're worshiping tonight. I asked Pastor yesterday at lunch. I said, can we have a worship service on Sunday night just to thank God? One of the seven things I explained. Just to thank God for all the things that we all have gotten to see.
That's right.
It's been amazing. It's called an awakening. We don't get to do the same thing that we used to do.
Come on.
It's time for a shift.
Yeah.
It's a shift. It's an enlightenment or a revelation of the glory of the name and the person of Jesus.
Come on.
It's always Jesus.
Yes, right.
Always.
Amen.
And the kingdom, my first point is this, is the kingdom is worth more than possessions.
Come on. More valuable than anything.
It's more than status, more than comfort, reputation, personal ambition. It's more than all of that. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a way of causing believers that understands the gift of that treasure. The treasure. And no matter what happens, all the things that we value in our personal lives seem to be subservient to the giver, Jesus. It kind of bows its knee to Jesus. Once we start to understand the treasure that was presented this week, it causes us to look at that treasure with a deeper value. I've got 7 points, so I've got to move a little bit. But when Christ and his reign are truly seen, everything else becomes secondary.
Come on. Come on.
Everything else becomes secondary.
Yes.
You know, I just want to say that sometimes we're just too busy.
Come on.
To have what the Lord wants us to have.
Come on. Come on.
You know, we have this phone, we have a busy schedule, we have family, we have ball games, we have all kinds of different things that happen. You know, we're just too busy.
Come on.
Yeah.
And we need to understand all of that is fine, and it's part of family function, and it's part of staying in touch with one another. But there's certain times to shut that stuff off and to focus on what happens.
Amen.
You know, I stay with Ben and Vicky, and I feel like I've got my own section of the house.
Amen.
And I go out and fellowship a little bit, but I'm here to serve you. And so I kind of lock myself in the room. Because it's lovely fellowship, but that's not the goal. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here for the paycheck. I'm here because I feel like I need to be.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. And so everything else needs to become secondary in the believer's life. Number two is the kingdom is hidden to some but revealed to others. How is that? I remember the first time I started to wonder, how could a believer sit next to another believer, one be receiving the power of God and the other one not?
Come on.
As a young Christian, I didn't understand. I said, how is that? How is that? Well, normally we're just too busy, or we're not letting him in, or we're not. It's not going in the right direction, or that life is not going in the right direction. So we just don't receive everything that we need to receive. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we're praying, but we're not giving the time to get the prayer answered. God wants your time in His Word and in His presence. I cannot stress that enough. If you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to surrender your life.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it wasn't salvation surrender.
Come on.
That got you in.
Yeah, deeper levels of surrender.
That brought you straight into the kingdom, but now you stepped in the gate.
Yes.
And you're going, oh my goodness.
Deeper levels.
So much to experience.
Amen.
So much. We begin to value the treasure. When we start to experience God in greater ways, we have a personal inner connection with the Lord in a way that maybe others don't, but it's because we learn to value. Value what it took. I don't know about you, but when I picture Jesus on that cross, I want to just surrender. I want to just, you know, it moves me. So the treasure was hidden in a field, showing that the kingdom may be present, but still unrecognizable to many. In other words, every time the word is preached, something needs to be unveiled. You know, God is trying to unveil something. Every time there's a move of the power of God and people are healed and delivered and things like that, God is trying to unveil Himself to us. He's trying to get you to see the treasure that you have in Him.
Amen.
Yes.
He wants you to see the value that He paid on that cross for us to have. He's saying, come.
Yes, thank
you, Lord. Come to me. The spiritual value must be revealed by God. It doesn't come unveiled through great preaching. Two people could be sitting in the same seats and one person get it and the other not. God must reveal it. It must be discerned by the Holy Spirit. We have to pick up on it. The very first thing I saw, okay, they're bringing in a new member. Who is he? Who is he, Jesus? How's he going to benefit this community, man? Lights, the word of the Lord starts popping. Why? Because I'm inquiring. I'm asking the one that knows it all. Knows it all. Knows who he is. Knows who he should be and who he will be.
Come on.
That's right. Not who he used to be.
Yeah.
New
creation.
See, you notice there wasn't any old identity in that word?
Yeah. It was
all new identity.
Come on.
Yes.
That's a word. It was something
to open up his life.
Yes.
Give him direction. Tell him that everything else is going to be fruitless if he doesn't pursue this. And you know what happens in fruitlessness? You become weary.
Yeah.
You become weary. You have no direction.
Yeah.
You're like a lost dog on the side of a road.
Wandering. Yeah.
Exactly. Waiting to be run over. I'll leave it there. The kingdom requires a response.
Come on. That's
point
right.
Number three.
That's right.
The kingdom requires a response.
Act of obedience.
And so we're going to respond as a family tonight. Because even though I'm not a member of this house, I'm a member of the family of God.
Amen.
Yes, amen, amen.
So the treasure was discovered and the pearl was found. But both men had to respond. It's a choice. It is a choice. The kingdom comes by God's initiative. Yet it calls people to repent, believe, turn to God, and follow Jesus. It's a response. Every time, I want you to think. Every time you didn't think you needed to. But there was an altar call. There was a healing line. Well, I'm just going to go up there. I've been up there for 67 times, and so I'm just going to go home. You never know. You never know. Did you know that I'd have a word for you?
I had no idea.
See? You never know. You just never know. You're here, you're tired, it's been a long week, it's been out of the 5 days, we've had 4 meetings or something, and whatever the numbers are. But the point is, the worship team's probably doing some throat lozenges or something, you know, because they've been singing. But the point is, it requires a response. A response, the kingdom. So the Word of God requires a response. The power of God requires a response. Everything that we do. Number four. The kingdom produces joyful surrender.
Yeah. I like that.
There is something about getting saved and every time the Holy Spirit touches you. That brings joy.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm just hearing God say, joyful morning. It's always that way.
Yeah.
Always that way. God, and people, oh, no, don't get me drunk. Well, sometimes I'm goofing around, but the other times I can see. You wouldn't believe what I see. Sometimes people are just dry.
Come on.
And even though they're being touched by God, they're not getting wet enough. They need to be saturated.
Hallelujah.
Submerged,
yeah.
Immersed.
Yeah.
The New Testament calls it a refill as we sung.
Yeah.
A refilling of the Holy Spirit.
Continually being filled.
Exactly. Continually being filled. Every morning is a filling.
That's right.
How far can you drive? Well, in Missouri, when I rolled into Missouri, I'm going, oh, Jesus, thank you for lower gas prices. I saw $4.08. I said, come out of Missouri, devil.
Yeah. It's lower now.
I know it's lower. It's lower, but I still have my GPS set for Muskogee, Oklahoma, where it's probably 5 cents cheaper. It's always cheaper, and that I don't know what's up with that around there. I haven't even looked, but it is. But anyways, back to the message. So,
gas anointing.
Notice what the scripture says: the man sold all that he had for joy.
Come on,
for joy.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you. I'm happy.
Yes.
I have good joy.
Amen. Amen.
Even in sorrow, I have joy.
Come on. Yeah. Amen. Me too. Praise God.
Because the treasure was greater than the cost.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the treasure. Mm-hmm. And whatever it costs to have him, the treasure is always greater than the cost.
It's going to cost you something.
Exactly. It costs. It's like lay your life down, surrender. But somehow when you start to do that, you are joyful about it.
Amen.
Yes.
You are joyful.
Hallelujah.
You want to have the presence of God? I mean, sometimes I'm just anywhere and the Lord just drops in on me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, Jesus. You know, so I start looking around and I shared with my wife that I learned that when God drops in on me, it's like, okay, are you here for visitation? Is this for personal? Or is it for work? He likes to visit his children.
Come on.
He really does, guys.
Praise God. Oh, yeah.
But he likes for us to visit him, too.
Yeah.
You know, you can visit Daddy any day of the week you want.
Yes. Hallelujah. Give us access. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The kingdom surrender is joy.
Yes.
Surrender to the kingdom, the result is joy. Because Christ is worth more than what is left behind.
Amen.
I don't know. My past, I have nothing to, you know. Nothing. It's nothing like it is today.
Come on.
It has no. I mean, it doesn't even compare.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
So I've gone too far.
Come on.
I've gone too far with Jesus to turn back.
Ain't no stopping now.
I've experienced too much.
Come on.
I've heard his voice too much.
Right.
Number five, the kingdom demands total allegiance.
Praise God.
The men sold all they had, showing that the kingdom cannot be added to a life still ruled by self. The kingdom comes only to us in the areas that were surrendered. I learned a lesson from Benny Hinn. When he started doing these power conferences, he went and it was in a city that one of his cousins or relatives were there, and he hadn't seen him in a long time. So in the morning, he spent time with God. He did his morning meeting, and the power of God just wiped the place out. And then he went to lunch with his cousin or one of his relatives that he hadn't seen. And he spent that time with his relative. And then when he came back to the night meeting, God didn't move at all. Zero. Zero. There's a cost for the anointing. There's a cost for salvation. There's a cost for everything in the kingdom, is my point. But you can only value the treasure, the pearl, if you understand that. If you understand that. I want you to consider what happened in this church this week. This is why I'm preaching this message. I was going to preach something totally different. I sent Vicki the second email saying, hopefully you didn't do anything on the first email. But the value and the of the treasure that was here. It needs to be considered. And we need to make a change. I'm going to go home. I told my wife, I said, I'm changed. I got tore up last night, man. Jesus calls for full allegiance. Number six, the kingdom records priorities. When the kingdom becomes first, everything else is brought under God's order.
That's right.
Yeah. Your life just works out. God will run a word up your alley. He'll open a job for you. He'll do something for you. He'll give you favor.
Yeah.
It just, your life starts to become orderly.
Come on.
And it's not because you have done anything. It's because you have spent time with God.
Hallelujah.
You have valued the power of the written word. You have valued the power of the Spirit of God. It changes you. Earthly gain, comfort, and personal control become secondary to the reign of Christ. This morning, I had the thought, well, my wife hadn't called me for my birthday. I should call her and tell her I have a birthday. But I said, no way, not preaching the gospel. Mm-mm. No. I need to spend time with God. Because somebody may need a touch from Jesus today.
Amen.
My last point. The kingdom calls for enduring faithfulness. The kingdom must be valued beyond the first moment of discovery. From the first time beyond, the first time that you discover the kingdom, there's got to be a value. There's got to be that moment of discovery. Some of the people, I'm going to ask God not only to heal you, but I'm going to ask God to do something special in your life. Discover something. Some people go down on the carpet and they lay there for hours. Some just nothing. But all of a sudden they run across a scripture and it just speaks to them in a way that would normally not speak to you. The last thing I have for you this morning still is true faith continues to surrender.
Yes.
A life of surrender. You know, I really, you know, those words that Jesus speaks where I only do what I see the Father do and I only say what I hear the Father say, that tells me that everything that Jesus did was every breath that he ever took, he lived a life of surrender. Is surrender. Surrender will kill self. Surrender will also open doors that you cannot open. Only God can. Only God can. There are things that we want from the kingdom of heaven. Kind of recapping here before my last point. That we will never have if we don't surrender. I don't get to pick. If it was my will, I would say, Jesus, I want every one of them healed. But he seems to be Lord and God and I'm not. So I have to say, oh Lord, I ask you, just heal them all. Now I ask. I don't demand or something. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
what I'm trying to say is that's a surrender life. What I want God to do and what happens can be two completely different things, but I have to accept that He knows me better. He knows what I need. He knows what I need on the outside, on the inside, and what I'm going to need tomorrow.
That's right.
Everything. He knows all of that. There's too many problems in our life that should not be there.
Come on.
Should not be there.
That's right.
Because I'm telling you, if you spend enough time in the presence of God, you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
You're going to hear the voice. And you're going to hear the solution.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You can't be comfortable in that.
You're going to hear the solution. Yes. And then you start working the solution. You're not working the problem, you're working the solution.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
That's what surrender does. Yeah. Surrender trusts unto death. Just like the Lord and Savior, Amen. Jesus.
Come on.
Unto death. I trust you unto death.
Praise God.
Last point. True faith continues to surrender, but obedience.
Come on.
Obedience. Once you surrender, now you're going to have to obey.
Come on. Yes. Obedience is.
You're going to have to obey. There's surrender gets you to the place of blessing.
Come on. That's right.
Obedience brings it in.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Endurance continues the 84 trillion seeds.
Yeah.
And then notice what the Bible, this is all based off theological thought. And if you want to argue with anybody, it's the International Dictionary of New Testament Theology, so go there. However, endurance until fullness. I am not stopping. I'm not slowing down. I'm going to follow God. And my day-to-day doesn't matter because what I do today, I'm sowing for tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm sowing for tomorrow. And what happens, the way I do things today affects my future. And here's the real, real deal, is the things that I do today affects my generations.
Come on. That's right. That's right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a generational thinker.
Come on, me too.
Because Jesus is a generational thinker.
Right. Amen.
And generations are still coming to Christ. Generations are still being healed. If we're going to see this outpouring, if we're going to see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit the way we want, or the way we believe, the Bible tells us, it will be greater. Then I look at Peter and Paul, and I say, how can I get there at least that? At least that. Because if I have that, I have that outpouring. But if I can somehow get further, or my generations through how I train and do that, maybe they can get further than me. But if we're going to have that great outpouring, there has to be a miraculous move of God.
Yes.
I mean, more than, because doesn't the Bible say that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain? Well, what does that really mean? It doesn't mean that we stay the same. It means we've got to get to where the former was so we can have the latter. Oh. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you after the service, okay? And now I'm going to let Pastor Jeff have it and let him close it out.
Great job.